It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be podsmacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Would you believe that this is episode number 163? Well, it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show, and congratulations if your favorite number is 163, because, I mean, it's got to be a special day for you, right? Anyway, thanks, and thanks for joining me. A lot of stuff to get to on the show, and I've got a special show for you, because I'm going to be featuring some cool segments that I did on WLS in Chicago this week. All right, so I'm going to share that in just a moment. I want to thank Dr. Alex Nelson, who I'm going to go see next week because my neck is killing me. He is a chiropractor in Kansas City, 8335 North Congress Avenue in Kansas City. And you can call 816-741-4711, 816-741-4711. They do this thing called electrical stimulation, which is really cool. They start you off with electrical stimulation, for instance, if you have herniated low back discs, and then they do decompression, and it's miraculous. They do adjustments that can cure. It cures my neck every time they do it. It's just a little and you're there. It's fantastic. $30 veterans and veterans family adjustment fees. You can't beat it. They accept most insurance as well. FountainOfLifeCairo.com. FountainOfLifeCairo.com. 816-741-4711. 816-741-4711. Man, there's just so much to talk about. So we've got a lot of monument removal going around the country, and a lot of people have been sitting on this for a while. People who are easily offended, people who will never see a finish line in this country as far as reasons to hate the country and reasons to demand that the country be changed, because once all the statues are gone, there will be more. There will be more, not more statues, although they're talking about replacing the statues. They're actually, yeah, hold on a second. In Baltimore, they're talking about what they should replace the statues with. Okay, yeah, they're looking for creative ways to replace Baltimore's Confederate statues, and so they got a website that you can you do creative ideas and responses that take into account the past, present, and future events of the monument's locations amid the presence and narrative of all monuments' relationship to the city. So you want something innocuous. I suggested SpongeBob. I think SpongeBob would be great. I mean, you can't be offended by SpongeBob. You know, maybe Elmo from Sesame Street. I mean, we don't want to offend anybody, you see. Because, you know, the worst thing in the world that can happen to you is to be offended. Isn't it amazing? Oh, can you imagine being offended? What a horrible affront. It is remarkable to me that being offended. When the hell did being offended, pardon my language, but when did being offended become a capital offense? I get offended. You know, I don't think I've ever called a radio station because I was offended, or I've called a TV station because I was offended. You know, you get offended, and if you don't like what was said or done, you don't listen to it anymore, you don't look at it anymore, you don't go there anymore, whatever. I mean, what the heck? A lot of people died so that offense could exist in this country, because that's what the First Amendment's about. It's about protecting unpopular speech, that which is offensive. That said, they're looking for some creative solutions. I was suggesting, like, for instance, with General Lee, Robert E. Lee, they removed that statue, maybe replace it with Jet Li. A martial arts actor. Stonewall Jackson, replace him with Janet Jackson. I don't know. It's ridiculous. And this last week in the state of New York, they're talking about taking down this giant statue of Christopher Columbus in Columbus Circle. It's famous. And Joe Piscopo, I'm going to share in just a second, he shared why that was built. Okay, why it's there. Here is a bat guano crazy city councilman named Mitch Farrell talking about Christopher Columbus last week.
We have history behind us, and we will no longer stand for revisionist thinking, celebrating someone who was responsible for setting in motion the greatest genocide known in world history.
No, actually, no. It wasn't, actually. If you looked at Stalin's Russia or Maoist China, those were the greatest genocides in the history of the world. Okay? It wasn't what happened in America. Not saying that what happened in America was good at all, Christopher Columbus discovered the continent, essentially. The continent had been apparently visited by Vikings. Christopher Columbus didn't kill anybody. Christopher Columbus discovered it, went back, told everybody about it. But now he is being cast as this demon rather than a man who was exploring the world around him and reporting back. All right? Here's a little just Joe Piscopo. I think this is Friday night with Tucker Carlson on Fox News.
Tucker, I'm such a proud Italian-American. I think of my grandparents coming over here from Avellino, Italy, learning the laws, learning the language of the United States of America, being proud Americans. My grandparents and my parents always told me, this is America, the greatest country on planet Earth. Learn it. Live it. Be American. Be proud to be an American. The Italian-Americans, Tucker, they worked so hard. They've been prejudiced against, and all we did was become doctors and lawyers and business people and engineers and architects, and we've given so much to this country. I'm telling you, that statue in Columbus Circle in New York, Tucker, my friend, it ain't coming down. We are not going down, and neither is that statue.
Yeah, and people on the left have been on the Christopher Columbus bandwagon for a while, renaming, not celebrating Columbus Day at school. Now there are municipalities that are getting rid of Columbus Day, like in Los Angeles. And then and the people, the politically correct crowd, they wait for an opening. And then they capitalize on it, and then they overdo it. And that's what's happening in this country. Listen, Nathan Bedford Forrest, the creator of the KKK, proud Democrat, by the way, should his statue be removed? Yeah, sure. Sure. But this is a wholesale destruction of history. Here's Joe Piscopo explaining why that statue went up and who paid for it.
That statue of Columbus Circle in New York was built in honor of the largest lynching, in the mass lynching in American history. And you know what it was, Tucker? It was Italian-Americans in New Orleans in 1891.
Oh,
there was a public official killed. They rounded up all the Italians.
Yes.
They said, oh, who killed that public official? It must have been, and forgive me, I'm such a proud Italian-American, but to drive the point home, it must have been the Dagos. Yeah, get those Italians. They lynched them. 11. They lynched them. Innocent Italian, and they were American citizens. The next year, 1892, they built the Columbus statue in Columbus Circle in New York to honor them. And it was the blue-collar workers, the laborers from Italy that came to become American citizens that got quarters and nickels and dimes and dollars, and they raised the money. It was like the 1800s version of a GoFundMe kind of thing.
Okay, there you go. Oh, I was mentioning, you know, they're taking all these monuments down all over the country because they're offensive, you see. I mean, they're historical, don't get me wrong, but they're offensive. In Baltimore, there are people actually inquiring about getting the monuments. Okay? So people are saying, hey, you know that General Lee monument you have, the one that's 15 feet high and weighs 8 tons? How do I get that? How do I get that? And I think this could be a cottage industry, actually. Seriously.
There's a new movement sweeping the country, removing monuments and statues that are deemed offensive. But that means you can have awesome lawn ornamentia you never thought possible. At Solo, suddenly offensive lawn ornamentia, you can have statues of Civil War generals, Confederate presidents, and that's not all. Suddenly all sorts of monuments are now offensive and must be removed from the public square, and that means great savings for you. You can have a bust of Christopher Columbus for pennies on the dollar.
Oh yeah,
Lewis and Clark trail markers would look great near your koi pond. Abraham Lincoln, somebody probably finds him offensive, so put him near your fire pit. Robert E. Lee, Andrew Jackson, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson are all going for rock bottom prices. We could melt them down, but you can put them in your yard.
All right, back it up. Hey, congratulations on your Teddy Roosevelt birdbath.
Solo, suddenly offensive lawn ornamentia. New branches opening up every day across the country.
Oh, yeah, you could get a heck of a deal. Heck of a deal on a Christopher Columbus. I think it'd be kind of sweet, right? You make a little, one of those little fountains, you know? Was it the ones that recycle the water constantly? Maybe you have it, the water spewing out of his mouth? I don't know. Just an idea. Just an idea. Southern Poverty Law Center has declared three of America's largest army bases Confederate monuments with the potential to unleash more turmoil and bloodshed. They include Fort Hood in Texas, Fort Bragg in North Carolina, and Fort Benning in Georgia. So I guess they want to change the names of those bases. See, it started off with banning words. You know, and there are words you can't say now, and it's constantly that group of words is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because they're offensive. And now we have a little opening here to get rid of more, right? And so that's what's happening. And there's no finish line here. That's the problem. There's no finish line because there's always going to be something that offends someone. There's always going to be something. Oh, and by the way, the Cleveland police, they're going to boycott an American flag ceremony for Cleveland. They're going to, it was about August 20th. Well, let me see. The union members had planned to participate in the flag ceremony prior to the August 21st game, where about a dozen players kneeled during the national anthem, including the first white guy. You know, it's so neat to see the millionaires out there on the field who've been so wronged by this country taking a knee. So they're not going to show up for this flag ceremony. And then this is another protest, guys. This is another self-serving, probably driven by millennials protest. Nothing against you millennials completely, but there is a movement afoot, and pardon me for opining, on campus that kids need to create a crisis because they haven't been through anything. They've had hand sanitizer their entire lives, and every time they go outside, they had to wear a bike helmet. So there has to be some sort of a crisis, you see, with this kneeling during the national anthem. There's no, it's a self-serving, selfish protest because there's no finish line. With Colin Kaepernick, he would stand when the country became what he wanted it to be. When the country became what Colin Kaepernick wanted and met his approval, then he would stand up. Apropos of nothing, I found something that I thought was kind of interesting. A friend of mine actually sent me the link for this. A lot of times you hear stripped away music, raw vocals of performers. I've heard like Van Halen's David Lee Roth. I've heard a couple of other, what's her name? I'm drawing a blank on her name. Oops, I did it. Britney Spears. And a lot of times the vocals are pretty, you know, kind of bad without all the production and everything. Well, listen to this. This is Thriller Michael Jackson without the music. Listen, and he's a good singer. He was a good singer.
It's close to midnight. Something evil's lurking in the dark. Under the moonlight, you see a sight that almost stops your heart. You try to scream, but terror takes the sound before you make it. Yeah, you start to freeze as horror looks you right between the eyes. You're paralyzed, 'cause this is dinner. Thriller night, and no one's gonna save you from the beast about to strike. I know it's thriller, thriller night. You're fighting for your life inside of killer thriller.
Kind of cool, right? And then, of course, the isolated ee-hee. Nice to have. This is kind of cool. He would have been 59 this year. He would have been 59. Kind of crazy. Smoking marijuana causes fertility problems. Do you know why? Because men who smoke too much pot, their pot makes their sperm mellow and causes it to swim around in circles. Which is exactly what pot does to men and anybody. Does it give your sperm the munchies? That's the only thing that I'm kind of curious about. The person who headed the study for British Columbia University in Canada says the weight of the evidence is that marijuana probably has a negative effect not only for sperm counts but sperm function. Previous studies have shown that marijuana can affect fertility by cutting sperm count and suppressing ovulation in women. So your sperm becomes mellow, swims around in circles, gets the munchies and can't hold down a decent job. So I guess that's what happens. There's a growing movement in Australia to rename Father's Day Special Persons Day. Apparently there's an Australian academic. Her name is Ruby Red Ruby Scarlet wants to rename Father's Day, and they do Father's Day in Australia. It's a different day than we do it here. I don't have exactly when it is. But she's saying that basically Special Persons Day was not about political correctness. It's about rights. Okay, why are they calling this political correctness when it's in fact about our rights? Okay, saying that basically it's not inclusive. It needs to be inclusive to children from special communities, including single parent families and same sex parent families. You know, blah, 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 blah. And by the way, they're removing monuments in Australia as well. This is an international movement. ISIS does that too, by the way. And they're trying to end the country's national holiday, Australia Day, and calling it Invasion Day, as in when Australia was invaded by the colonists. It's kind of like what's happening here. They're getting rid of Columbus Day, you know. The Chicago Southside over the weekend, they did a kind of a symbolic anti-violence march. It was kind of a back to school with Dad Day.
Brother Vincent Kane of the Black Star Project wants every child possible accompanied by a father or mentor to school day one.
The hard work is actually showing up. You know, that once you get over that hurdle, then everything else is easy from there. You know, we're just saying if you show up the first day, then we'll worry about the next day after that. But let's try the first day.
They march south in Cottage Grove to picnic at the much bigger Back to School Fair.
Okay. When I saw that story, I think it's great, by the way. You know, sure. Be a good dad. It's you'd be amazed the rewards of being a father. It's fantastic. I stay here with my children, and I love my children, and it's a glorious thing. It's a glorious thing. My father left when I was 7 years old. He really screwed up. He missed being a dad, and I just thought that, you know, the next thing they'll go after Father's Day at school here. You know, they're going after father daughter dances. You know, they're going after father whatever, because, you know, some kids have two mommies, you know, and all that stuff. So whatever. Oh, man, listen to this. Do you remember in the early 90s when McDonald's started doing pizza? Do you remember that? I remember it. And I remember trying it. They got rid of it because apparently it took too long to make the pizza in 1993. It took like 11 minutes to make a pizza. So they got rid of the pizza. But did you know that there were two McDonald's? One in Ohio and one in West Virginia. They said, screw the company. We're going to go ahead and keep doing this. They were still doing the pizza from 1990. They were still doing it. But apparently, word got out on social media. It went viral. Apparently, there were food fans across the U.S. and Canada going there to try this throwback pizza from the 90s. Company shut them down, said, nope. You can't do it anymore. McDonald's offered personal pizza, family pizza. Toppings included cheese, pepperoni, sausage, onions, mushrooms, and green peppers. The family size sold for $6. Personal pies, $2.75 to $3.25. The only place that I get the personal pan pizza anymore, this is for pizza, is at Target. You know, when you're at the food court at Target. Now, listen to this. People went so bananas when they heard that these two restaurants were serving the pizza from the 1990s. Three Canadian men in their 20s traveled over 1,000 miles just to get their hands on a McDonald's pizza in West Virginia. Really, guys? I mean, really? Okay. I mean, I can see making the pilgrimage for a lot of things. And I have driven round trip 250 miles for White Castles. I have done that. but I don't think I'd drive 1,000 miles for a McDonald's pizza. But anyway, they are no longer serving them there. Christian Toto from Hollywood in Toto joins us on the line. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. I was just perusing your website, Hollywood in Toto, and seeing this 14 super cool Close Encounters of the Third Kind facts. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, you know, they re-released the movie for its 40th anniversary. And actually, I didn't get a chance to see it in the theaters, but I watched it at home last night with my kids just to kind of introduce them to it. So
it's such a good movie.
It's iconic, man. I mean, what they do and how they kind of build up the tension. Oh. And of course, Richard Dreyfuss going completely mental when these aliens are coming to town. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, they're actually doing a UFO festival at Devil's Tower. I don't remember exactly when it is, but to commemorate it. And some of the things they're doing a parade, and they're doing a Devil's Tower building contest. So you can either make it out of mashed potatoes.
That's the only thing they'd lost, a real product placement opportunity. They should have had some mashed potato company sponsor that film. That would make a lot of money.
Yes. It is a good movie. There's a magic about the movie. I was too young, really, to see it in theaters because 40 years, you know, and my parents never took me anywhere. But that beside the point, I didn't get a chance to see it in theaters. I bet the theater experience is neat. But even so, isn't it cool to introduce a younger generation to a movie that meant so much to you, you know?
I've been doing that for like last year, basically taking the movies I loved as a kid and watching with my kids and checking out their reaction. We watched Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones, so it's part of the fun of being a parent.
Those are great. Now, boy, not a good box office this year for summer. It kind of collapsed. The worst box office in 25 years. People are attributing it everything from Hollywood's politics to just remaking the same franchises again and again. What do you think?
It's a perfect storm. It's a little bit of everything. I think a lot of franchises just they're done and they don't know that they're done. And they kind of foist it upon us and we're telling them, hey, we don't want this anymore. I think it had some genuinely awful movies. I mean, The Mummy was terrible, and it would have been the worst movie this summer, except then Transformers The Last Knight came along. That was the rotten prize. So it's that. And I do think, you know, actors are getting more political, and people who are, you know, on the Trump train don't like it when they talk out so much. And I think that does taint the box office a little bit. I don't think it's the reason, but I think it's all those different things. And plus, there's so much great content on Netflix and Hulu and on TV.
Yeah.
You could stay home and get stuff that maybe is almost superior, if not definitely superior, to what you see at the movies.
Now, I asked people earlier today what they were binge watching, because binge watching is a kind of a big deal now for long weekends like this. Do you binge watch anything? Do you ever go to Netflix and just sit and watch three or four episodes of whatever?
I just don't have the time, and I have to watch a lot of movies for my job. The ones I've been watching more recently that I attempted to watch was Ozark on Netflix, which is quite good. And I'm almost through with The Defenders on Netflix as well, which is solid, not spectacular. That's the group of superheroes fighting the Hand, an evil group of folks trying to take over New York and elsewhere.
By the way, my wife is from Ozark, Missouri, which is right down there where the thing – it's kind of freaky. Oh, you want to hear something? Another piece of trivia about the town of this is Nixon, Missouri, actually. That's where Jason Bourne's from. A lot of stuff going on in southern Missouri. What did you consider good this summer? What was what were the movies that you went, oh, you know, this is good. This is worth going to see.
Well, I thought Wonder Woman lived up to the hype. I thought it was very entertaining. I think Gal Gadot was so perfectly cast. It was freakish. I mean, not just beautiful, not just talented, but tough and sympathetic and funny at times, too. So I think that was a home run. And also, I thought Baby Driver was excellent.
Okay.
It did pretty well at the box office. About a young guy who's got a hearing issue, but he's a great guy to get him the getaway driver whenever he needs to kind of get away quickly. And a really good cast, including Kevin Spacey and Jamie Foxx. So that one, I thought, another one that lived up to the hype. But other ones just didn't get there.
What about Logan Lucky? Have you seen Logan Lucky? I was underwhelmed by it.
It's not bad at all. It's by Steven Soderbergh, a good director. And it's kind of a heist film, kind of a blue-collar heist film. But I just didn't think the laughs were big enough. I didn't think the action was that amazing. It's fine. It's not a bad film by any stretch. But there was a lot of sort of critical buzz about it just before it hit theaters. And, it didn't do well with the audiences. And I just thought it was okay. It's the kind of movie you watch on Netflix or you catch on HBO. And you're like, oh, that was good. Okay. It was fun.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. They're considering making a Lord of the Flies with an all-female cast. What the heck are they thinking? Girls don't act like boys. I don't see the point in doing a Lord of the Flies with girls. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, you know, it's the new trend. You take a movie, instead of rebooting it directly, you reboot it and you kind of switch the genders around, and mostly it's male to female. And I mean, that can make some fresh and novel ideas at times. But this one, you know, two things. One, yet women, girls don't act like boys. So you get a very different story. But also, in our politically correct times, I mean, what if you make the girls behave very badly? I mean, maybe there'll be some pushback on that. It's kind of begging for kind of a social media outcry. I don't see the reason, but listen, let's give it a chance. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe it'll be kind of interesting and a unique take on it.
Look, they're getting together.
She doesn't like it.
Yeah, they're getting together and they're painting each other's toenails. Oh, my God. You know, I mean, really? Okay, now the remake of Stephen King's It is happening. Well, are you going to be at a pre-screening of that? And what do you think about it?
I'm going to see it tomorrow night. It opens this Friday. And the early buzz is very good, super scary, super intense. And I think because the book is so darn long, I think it's a kind of movie where you'll watch it and there's going to be a continuation. I mean, they always try to franchise these movies and sequel them out. So I think that they've planned it that way. But, you know, the trailers look very kind of creepy. And, of course, the source material is so good. That was the book that really made me fall in love with Stephen King books in general. So I hope they don't screw it up.
Yeah, the creepy clown sightings are happening all over the country again, by the way. One actually happened in my neighborhood. It turned out that the police were called on me. I was out jogging.
Hey, you got big feet. You can't help yourself.
You got big feet and a big nose. All right, Christian Toto, thanks for joining me, man. You've got, obviously, HollywoodInToto.com. Where can people find you on social media?
Yep, it's at HollywoodInToto on Twitter.
Quick sports note. Listen to this guy. I don't watch tennis. Whatever, tennis. Italian Fabio Fognini has been expelled from the U.S. Open following a foul-mouthed tirade that had already earned him a substantial fine. There was a Swedish umpire, Louise Ingzell. He called her a hua, among other things. What a complete and utter D-bag. He'd already been fined $36,000 for his transgression, now has been suspended pending a further investigation. You don't call a female tennis umpire the W word for prostitute. By the way, he could be fined up to $380,000 and suspended from future Grand Slams. Listen to this. He says, he gets on Twitter and he apologizes. Says, it was a bad day. It did not forgive my behavior in the match, although I'm a hothead, and though I've been right in most circumstances, I was wrong. By the way, he's been doing this a while. His biggest fine occurred in 2014 when he was penalized $42,000 for unsportsmanlike conduct. I don't think there's any fixing him. Okay, that's going to do it for today's podcast, guys. I do greatly appreciate you listening to the show. I want to thank our sponsors, including Dr. Alex Nelson, a great guy, fountainoflifecairo.com, fountainoflifecairo.com, 816-741-4711. They're on North Congress Avenue in Kansas City. Grass Monsters KC is also, by the way, a sponsor as well on the podcast. We are terrific fans of Grass Monsters KC. They make some unbelievable mowers, trimmers, American-made stuff. Just go to grassmonsterskc.com, or you can also go 5520 Raytown Road, Raytown Bow. Download the podcast on iTunes and iHeartRadio. Okay, it's at Rob Carson Show and a bunch of other places. And also, if you get a chance to check out my Facebook page at Rob Carson Show as well. I do live Facebook video all the time. God bless you guys. We'll be back with episode 164 very soon. See you then.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.